Today's shiur, Mishabur Yomi, is Siman Tafresh Mem Ches. We're up to Sif Dalet. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph, remains in a suffix as to whether an esrog whose flesh has dissolved and turned watery, but whose peel and seed cavities are intact, is still valid for the mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch here is going to bring a machlokas as to the practical halacha in this regard. So it starts out Sif Dalet esrog shani moach kol besaro bifnim ukli pasoi hachitzona kayames. An esrog inside, which all the flesh has dissolved, meaning the inside of the esrog, which all the flesh of the esrog has dissolved, but its outer peel is intact, and the seed cavities are intact inside of it, is kosher, but some view it as pasul. So let's look at the Mishnah Brura here. The seed cavities are intact. That is Sif Katan Tezayin, Kayomim, right? Talking about the seed cavities being intact, being Kayomim. So the Mishnah Brura here is going to address an obvious problem, meaning how is one to know that the seed cavities are intact? One cannot cut open the esrog, since that would render it pasul. Look what he says, Kayomim, the Yuchal Lahargish Davar Zeh B'Mishmush Hayah. He says this can be discerned by feeling the esrog. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his Hagos, Rabbi Kiva Eger to the Shulchan Aruch, suggests that it really may be impossible to determine whether the seed cavities are intact without actually cutting open the esrog. So, according to both opinions, one should not use dissolved esrog. So, the practical expression of this machlokes would be where one already used it for the mitzvah. If one subsequently cuts open the esrog and see that its seed cavities are indeed intact, then he has fulfilled his chiyuv according to the first view, but must take a different esrog without making a bracha according to the second view. So that would be the practical ramifications of it. But again, from the Mishnah Brura, it sounds like it can actually be determined by feeling the esrog. Now, Sif Katan Yud Zayin, V'yesh Poslin, he says, one should be machmir in this matter where possible. Okay? Let's go now to Sif Hey. Now, once again, let's give a little bit of an introduction. The Mishnah teaches that an esrog with a slit is pasul. We're going to talk about nizdak, a slit. Okay? And the Mishnah, Lamadalam of Beis, says that an esrog with such a nizdak, with a slit, is pasul. And the Gemara on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, as explained by Rashi, draws a comparison between a slit on an esrog, a nizdak esrog, and a slit on the trachea of an animal, otherwise known as the kone of an animal. There is the kone, which is the trachea, and the veshet, which is the esophagus. We're talking here about a slit on the trachea of an animal, which would render the animal a trefa and unfit for consumption once the animal is a trefa. The halacha is that an animal with any type of mortal injury is not kosher, even if it was properly shechted. A slit in the trachea is but one of several psulim in an animal, a trefus, and once again, by a esrog, a nizdak is also but one of several blemishes that the Gemara compares to the trefa injuries of an animal. So once again, since there are trefas in an animal and then there are psulim in an esrog, the Gemara gives comparisons. And the Mefarshim, in general, try to, understand why the comparisons, and this is really not for our discussion right now, but it happens to be an interesting Ha'ara. In any event, the Darchei Moshe, who's the Rama, right? He is the parish, the initial parish of the Rama, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Latanya, and others explained that an esrog that is blemished by a slit, nizdak, is pasul because it's considered chaser. And this seems to be the view of the Mishnah Brura, as we will see. Although an esrog is not actually missing any of its flesh, the nizdak slit deems the esrog chaser in the sense that it is not performing a lakicha, that one when he takes it, is not performing a lakicha tama, he's not taking a whole complete item, which is the reason why a chaser type of esrog is possible in the first place. Now, there are others that actually view it as a psul of it not being hadar, but that does not seem to be the, you know, approach of most. Okay, we now will continue on a little bit more with a little bit of an intro here. Now, there are going to be three factors that will be needed to, we're going to need to take into consideration when determining whether a particular slit, nizdak, sedek, will possibly the esrog. We need to talk about its length, its location, and its depth. So in terms of the length, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, when it comes to an animal, a trefa, that a slit trachea renders the animal a trefa only if the slit both runs over most of the trachea's length and also reaches all the way to one end of the trachea, whether it's the upper or lower end. So there's going to be a machlokes rishonim, and it's going to find expression here between a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah as to whether a slit on the esrog must also likewise meet these criteria in order to disqualify the esrog, or we are more machmir with regard to a slit on the esrog. Okay, now our sif is going to focus on a vertical slit which runs down the length of the esrog. Now, with regard to a horizontal slit, that's the subject of other paiskim. We are talking here about a vertical slit, a vertical sedek. Now, another issue is going to be the location. The Shulchan Aruch is going to bring a machlokes here as to whether a slit on the chotem, the upper part of the esrog, is treated more chamor, in that it will disqualify the esrog if it is of any size at all, which happens to be, we'll see, the view of the Ran, or it's treated as the same as any sedek or slit elsewhere on the esrog. Now, finally, the last issue we pointed out was the depth, and we'll see at the end of the sif, the Ramah is going to describe how deep the slit must penetrate into the esrog in order to be classified as a sedek, a slit, with respect to these halachas. So now let's see the Shulchan Aruch. Nizdak kulo meroshel sofo. What happens if you have an esrog that's completely slit from top to bottom lengthwise? Afilo eino chaser klum. Even if it's not missing anything, it is going to be puzzle. It's going to be puzzle, invalid. Aval nishrar bo shir lamala lamata afil kosher kasher. He says, if, however, there's some remainder of this esrog in its length left intact on the top or on the bottom, even if only kosher, afil kosher, even if it is only the smallest size, Shulchan Aruch here said, it's going to be kosher. Kosher, it's going to be valid. And then he quotes another opinion, the Yesh Misha Omer, the Dafka Milmata, that some hold it, no, only lower down on the esrog. But on the Chosem, Aval B'chotmo, Afilu Kosher Pasul, even the smallest slit will render it pasul. In other words, the second view holds that a sedek on the chotem, on the upper part of the esrog, the part where it starts sloping up towards the pitim, there even a small slit will pass. That's the second opinion. And then we continue on. Let's just see the whole Ramah here, and then we'll go into the Mishnah Berurah. The Yesh Machmirin Livsol Benizdak Rubo. The Ramah now comes and says some are Machmir that they passel an esrog that is slit most of the way, not the whole way, as the Shulchan Aruch says. V'chol shen lo nizdak rov kli paso ha'ava lo mikri nizdak. And then he says, in terms of the depth, as long as most of the thick rind of the esrog is not slit, it is not called slit. It's not called sedek. Again, there's the thick white rind inside, right between the peel and the cavity. If most of the thick rind is not slit, then it's not considered slit according to the Rambam. So let's see all the Mishnah Berurah on this. Sif katan yitches nizdak. So he says, "Midestama mechabe mashma desirle deyesh lahachmir afilu benizdak bitzad echad." He says, since the Shulchan Aruch did not elaborate, the implication is that he maintains that one should be machmir even where it was slit only on one side. That is, meaning, even though some rishonim maintain that a slit that meets the other necessary criteria invalidates passels the esrog only if it is on both sides of the esrog. The Shulchan Aruch's leaving it out indicates that he does not accept this view and invalidates the esrog even if it is only on one side. Sif katan yud tes. So the Shulchan Aruch had said if the esrog was completely slit from the top to bottom, even if it is missing nothing, it is puzzle. But he said in his first opinion that if it still has some remainder left intact on the top and on the bottom, even if it's only a little small amount of kol shehu, it's going to be kasher. So look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Yutes. He says it's going to be kasher, Yutes, kasher. Kamo b'nizdak hagargaris behema. The same way, as we said in our introduction, with regard to a slit trachea of an animal in Yoredeya, Lamedalid. Okay, and that's what we discussed in our introduction, right? That in Yoredeya there, we saw that a slit trachea renders the animal a trefa only if the slit both runs over most of the trachea's length and reaches all the way to one end of the trachea, whether the upper or lower end. So here, the Shulchan Aruch is basically going with the opinion that the slit on the esrog must likewise meet these criteria in order to passel the esrog. And we're not more machbir. So the only time it's going to passel, the only time it's going to passel is if it reaches the top of the esrog, the slit, or reaches the bottom of the esrog, the slit. And obviously, it has to, this is what the Mefarshim explain, it will likewise only passel if it runs through the majority of the esrog's length, just as with a slit trachea. This is pointed out in the Ber Halacha. So it comes out as follows. If the slit goes along the majority of the length and reaches all the way to the top, or in the other direction, reaches all the way to the bottom, it will passel. If it doesn't reach all the way to the top or all the way to the bottom, this slit, and there's a little, even a kol shehu of non-slit on the top and the bottom, it's going to be kasher, according to this first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. And then he goes on, continuing in the Mishnah Berurah, afilu nizdak mishnei tzadav al pnei kol archo v'nishdayar mikol tzad mashu l'mala u'mashu l'mata. He says, the esrog is going to be kasher, even if it is slit on both sides along its whole length, but on either side, there remains intact a bit on the top and a bit on the bottom, meaning both sides could have slits going across the entire length, but as long as both sides have a little unslit part on both sides, meaning if it remains on top and on bottom, that is even a minute amount of no slit on the top of the esrog, on the bottom of the esrog, it's going to be kosher. And this is exactly the same as with the trachea, where the animal is not a trefa, even when the slit is on both sides of the trachea, provided there is a remnant on both sides at the top and the bottom. This is pointed out in the Sharet Zion below. Now, before we go on to the next Mishnah Berurah, just to point out again, the Shulchan Aruch had then gone on to tell us that there's another opinion that will passel with any slit at all, if it's on the chotem, again, the upper part of the esrog from above the cavity sloping up to the top of where the esrog starts sloping up to the top, any slit there on the chotem will render it puzzle. That's a yesh mi sheomer in the Shulchan Aruch. And then we saw the yesh machmirin in the Ramah that as long as there is a majority, on the majority of the esrog, there is a slit, it will puzzle the esrog. And that's the Mishnah Berurah Sivkat and Chaf Lifsol Benizdak Rubo Hatazu Magen Avram Hisigu Al Psak Harama. And the Taz and the Magen Avram actually question this Psak of the Rama. You know, there's Machmir when there is a rov of a slit on the length of the esrog. V'daitam Didol Nimtza Misha Yachmir Bezeh Rubo. And they say that we find no one who is Machmir in this case where the majority with the rov is slit. However, the Gra actually in the Ber Agra proves in accordance with the Rambam, that there are those who are Rishonim who are Machmir, where most of it is slit, and this is even if the slit is only on one side. Finally, with regard to the thickness, so the Rambam had said, "Bekol shelo nizdak rov klipaso, ha'ava lo mikri nizdak." Right? He said that as long as most of the thick rind is not slit, it's not called a slit. So this is talking about the actual depth of the slit to be considered a sedek, to be considered slit. So let's look at the Mishnah Berura. Sif katan chafala, fekosh lo nizdak ba'omko, ba'omko. Right? That is, the slit does not penetrate most of the way into the rind's depth. Ba'omko. V'hainu mivosha esrog l'sofa. Right? This is where there is no such slit from the top of the esrog until its bottom. Until its bottom. Ola dasaga b'shirobo. According to the Ramah, who says it will passel with a rove, a majority slit, even if it doesn't reach the top or bottom, where there is no such slit within most of its, right, within most of it lengthwise, within most of its majority. Ola dasaga b'shirobo. Sif katan chav beis ha'ava de'ilu nizda kol klipaso ha'ava v'igia lechadrei hazera afilu makom echad pasel de'havi beklal nekev afula. She says, if the entire thick peel were to be slit, reaching the actual seed cavities, then even if it were only in one spot, the esrog would be pasul. Forget about rove, since it would be classified as a through hole, which we discussed in the last yomi, where we saw there the second opinion there that we machmir for, that if something is considered a through hole, even if it doesn't go, it's considered nekev mefulash, even if it doesn't go all the way through, if it reaches the inner cavity. Sif katan. Chaf gimel, lo mikri nizdak. It's not going to be considered a sedek unless it has that thickness, that depth, that slit. It's not going to be considered a sedek. Lo mikri nizdak. Afilu mishabru chaf gimel. Afilu b'chotmo gamkein dafka b'shnizdak sham rov klipaso. Di lav hachi eino b'chlal nizdak klal. He says, even if we're talking where the split is on the chotem, it also is only going to be puzzle only when most of the rind inside is slit there. Otherwise, it's not considered a slit at all. Meaning when the Shulchan Aruch mentioned the view before that a slit on the chotem will disqualify the esrog regardless of its size, he meant regardless of its length. If it does not reach the required depth, though, it's not classified as a slit at all. Meaning on the chotem, any length will passel, but the depth still has to be the depth that's considered something a slit, a sedek, a nizdak. Sif vav niklaf Haklipa ha-chitzona shalo. What happened if its outer peel was peeled off? Now, the Gemara on Daf Lamavom Aleph also draws a comparison between an animal that has been skinned, which renders it a trefa, right, mortally injured, and an esrog whose outer skin has been peeled off, which will also deem it pasul. So our sif discusses how much of the outer skin must be removed in order for the esrog to be rendered pasul. So we have here, he says, Niklav haklipa hachitzona shalo. If its outer peel was peeled off, she'ena mechasra ala nishar yarok kemos shehu briyaso, im niklav kulo pasul. If its outer peel was peeled off such that it does not leave the esrog missing anything, there's no chaser, but rather it retains its natural yellowish hue, color. So if it is entirely peeled, then it is pasul. If it's entirely peeled, im nishar mimenu kol shehu, but if even the smallest amount of the peel remains, it is kosher. However, he says, some say, v'yesh omim, shesharech sheyishtayar kesela. Some say that a sela size of peel must remain. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah on this. Sif katan chaf dalid. So we're talking here about the peel, the outer peel being peeled off. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Aklipa achitzoyna chaf dalid. Hainu aklipa adaka shukimin belid ala esrog. We're talking here that this is a thin peel, which is like a film. It's like a little film over the esrog. And it's just that glossy film that's on top of the yellow of the esrog. And there's nothing missing from the body of the esrog at all. Now, if there's something missing from the body of the esrog, that itself can render it invalid due to it being chaser, regardless of how much of the outer peel remains on the esrog. As we're going to see coming up very soon in Sif Katan Chav Hei. Now, the meaning of the body of the esrog, when he says there's nothing missing from the body of the esrog, is as follows. Once again, the esrog has several layers, a very thin yellowish skin, a somewhat thicker, bitter peel, a very thick white flesh, and a circular chamber containing the seeds called the seed cavities. So the Shulchan Aruch means that none of the second layer was removed. None of the little thicker, bitter peel, even above the white rind, has come off. We're only talking about the outer, very thin, yellowish skin. And he says, if any of that second tier between the very thin, yellowish skin film, whatever you want to call it, and the very thick white flesh, that amount in between, which has a somewhat thicker, bitter peel, again, there's the very thin, yellowish skin, a somewhat thicker, bitter peel, and a very thick white flesh. So if some of that somewhat thicker, bitter peel is removed, that's considered chaser. This happens to be the view of the Ran and the Rambam, even though there are those that are cholik. Rush, probably the Tur, and those others seem to hold that it's only going to be chaser if it actually goes into the white rind. But again, he clearly, Shabur here, based on this, his understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, is clearly understanding that anything beyond the outer peel is already moving into the area of chaser. Now, there is a Chazon Ish who happens to hold that all Rishonim agree that the esrog is not viewed as missing some of its body as long as the white rind is totally intact. He happens to hold, though, that it is technically impossible to remove the entire depth of the second layer without removing some of the third as well. And therefore, if any part of the white flesh of the esrog is exposed, the Chazon Ish says the esrog will be pusul because it's missing part of its inner body, which is the white part. Now, the separate disqualification of a peeled esrog would thus be relevant, according to the Chazon Ish, only if the white flesh is still covered by some yellowish layer, which shows that none of the white flesh is missing. So again, it has to have, as we said, it retains some of its yellowish, as the Shulchan Aruch actually said, it retains some of its yellowish, it retains some of its yellowish hue, right? And if it does, it's going to be kosher unless it is entirely peeled. But if the smallest amount of the peel remains, it's kosher. Again, he says a Yesh Omrim, the Shulchan Aruch, that a cellar size of peel must remain for it to be kosher. Let's look now and continue on in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Chaf Hei, She Eino Mechasro. So the Shulchan Aruch had said that if its outer peel was peeled off, such that it does not leave the Yesrog missing anything, so it's going to be kosher unless the whole peel was removed. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. Dim haya niklaf yoseh ba'oimek afilu b'makom echad v'nechzar migufa esrog afilu mashu posel mitam chaser levei arishona shel sif beiz hanom la'el ulevei ashnia im chaser ki'isa al kol panim. So he says here that because if it was peeled more deeply, even in one place, and even the smallest amount were to be missing from the body of the esrog, so then it's going to be posel due to it being chaser according to what we saw in the first opinion in Sif Beis, and according to the second opinion there, if it were missing an Isser size, okay, in any case, it would be puzzle. Okay, therefore, if any amount of the second layer was removed, or according to the second position there, if an Isser size of that layer was removed, the Esrog would be puzzle, even if some of the outermost layer remains elsewhere on the Esrog. And when the Mishnah Berurah said in Sif Katan Chaf Dalet that nothing at all is missing from the second layer, he was obviously following the first opinion there in Sif Beis, because according to the second opinion, there has to be a Isser size, if you remember, missing in order for it to be considered chaser. But again, remember we're machmir for that first opinion anyway there in Sif Beis. Go back to yesterday's Yoimi. We continue weiter. Sif Katan Chaf Vav. It needs, he had said that only the outer peel of the Shulchan Aruch was removed, but it retains its natural yellowish hue, right? Elanishar Yerok Kemos Shehu Beryasai, right? It retains its natural yellowish hue, Then if it's entirely peeled, it's going to be pasul. So what's this? It's natural yellowish hue. Sifkat v'chavav. Yarok kemoshu hubriyaso. He says, in makom haniklafu mishuna b'mariso mimarei esrog. He says, the peeled area has a different appearance than that of the esrog, then even if only the majority of it is afilu niklaf rak rubo pasul. Even if only the robe of it is peeled, it's going to be pasul. V'chol zed dafik ish niklaf hakol biyachad. And all this is only when everything was peeled together in one area. Aval niklaf b'shnayim b'shloshim makomos. But if it was peeled in two or three places, even on a afilu b'miyah esrog, even in a minority, even on the minority of the esrog, im eino domel l'shar esrog pasul. If it is not similar to the rest of the esrog, it is going to be pasul because it becomes what's called like a havi kimenumar. We're going to see a psul coming up called a menumar, a blotchy esrog, which is pasul. V'im niklaf b'mkom chotmo, and if it was peeled on its chotem area, kishe eino dome mekom hakiluf l'shar esrog, and such that when it's peeled, the area that's peeled is not similar to the rest of the esrog, then once again, afilu b'kol shehu is going to pasul. Pasul. U'kamol inyan chazazis, like we'll see coming up regarding the chazazis, as we will see, the kaman in sif test. The yesh omer ein lahachmir b'kol ze rak dafka, kishe inishtane mekom hakiluf l'marim pasul. Some say, though, that there's no room to be machmir in all this, only where the peeled area has changed to an unacceptable color. The maripusel, kagon, like, what's considered a maripusel, kagon shachar v'lava, such as black or white. Avalim humare kasher ein lepusel. But if it is an acceptable color, then it's not going to be considered ein lepusel. It's not going to be pusel. Ushat shasat chak, yesh l'smoch al zeh, v'gisomech anis, v'yein lekaman sif yagimel, in the Haggah. So that's the story here. Now, what are we talking about a little bit? So we're going to see later on in Sifim Tes Yud, Yudbeis, and Tes Zayin, that there are certain blemishes that affect the external appearance of the Esrog, such as if the Esrog has spots that are black or white, or has a chazazit, which is like a boil-like eruption. Now those blemishes, possibly Esrog, due to lack of Hadar. If they, and it's going to passel them if they either cover the majority of the esrog, appear in a number of different spots on the esrog, or appear on the chotem. So there's a machlokes among the Rishonim regarding whether an esrog that has been peeled as to create any sort of discoloration on the esrog has the same rule. So the Shulchan Aruch's statement that the peeled esrog retained its natural yellowish hue seems to indicate that he follows the chamur view as set forth by the Mishnah Brura here, and although the Mishnah Brura at the end here quotes the Makel view that it will only passel when it's peeled in a number of spots, or if it's peeled on the chotem, all right, or if it covers the majority of the esrog, it's only going to passel according to the second opinion here in the Mishnah Brura. Again, he says it's only, you can only rely on it in a Shasat Chak situation, but it's only when it will have the same passeling colors, black and white, that we're going to have later on in the Siftes, Yod, etc., coming up. Sifkan Chav Zayin, and Niklaf Kulo Pasel. So it only passels when it gets peeled, if the whole outer peel peels off the esrog. Kamo b'behema kishniklaf kol ora trefa d'lohadra beria. The same way by an animal, where the halacha is that when all of its skin has been flayed, it is a trefa because it cannot recover. Finally, Sifkan Chav Ches, Yishtaya Kisela. So this others say that a cella size of peel must remain in order for it to be kosher. So he says here, so to kumo sham, sifkan chavches, legabe behema detzarach shishdayar kesela, ikein pasak habach veliyah rabba, just as there with regard to an animal, we require that a cella size of skin remain in order for it not to be deemed a trefa, and the bach and the eliyah rabba rule similarly here in accordance with this view. The cella is a Talmudic era coin, and the exact size, they say, Yeredeya, is it has a diameter of 1/3 of a tefach, and that is about 2.6, somewhere between 2.6 and 3.2 centimeters, dependent on the different opinions, for the size of a tefach.